Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Thurman Scrivener again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you and praise you for this beautiful day. I ask you to bless the Word of God as it goes out today. Father, open your Word to us so that we may hide your mighty Word in our hearts so that we may not sin against you, so we may walk a holy and pure and clean life in your presence. Now, Father, bless the Word as it goes out today. In the name of Jesus. Now then, I want to talk a little bit today about some of the things that you're going to have to suffer if you're willing to live a holy life in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you that Jesus himself, in fact, I'm going to go to Luke chapter 4 to start out with there. And in 4:18-19, the Word of God says the Spirit, this is what Jesus said after he had received the anointing. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive and the receiving of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them which are bound or bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now this was Jesus' message. Well, after he preached this message to this people and told them what they had to do and some of the things he said in his message in the next few verses, that people didn't like it. And it clearly says in verse 28, after he told them all these things, after he preached to them a few minutes, and it said, all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Now, not one or two. But it says all the people, when you preach the Word of God to people, sometimes it doesn't exactly set right with people. And it didn't with these people. So because Jesus preached the gospel, I want to show you the persecution that he had to suffer. All the people that heard these things were filled with wrath. And they were very upset. And they rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill wherein their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's what you call real persecution. Now then, if you preach the Word of God, and especially if you preach it with power and authority like it's written, there's going to be many people that don't like you. But that's okay. You know, all you have to remember is Jesus is in control. And he's the one that told you to preach it. So, these people, they didn't like what he said, and they absolutely took him out. They literally took Jesus out of the temple, out of church, and took him out to the edge of the hill to throw him down. Now, I'm going to tell you, that was great persecution on Jesus' part. Now, we're fixing to go to Acts chapter 3, and I'm going to show you here that Peter, he was okay until this power came upon him. Now, we're going to go to Acts chapter 3, and I'm going to show you what happens when power comes upon you. Now, then, a lot of churches today don't believe that there's such thing as the baptismal power of the Holy Spirit. But the Word of God has something else to say. When the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and Jesus told us to definitely not leave home without that infilling power of the Holy Spirit, he told them, he said, go and wait for the coming of the power of the Holy Spirit. And, of course, they did. They went and prayed 10 days, and then the power of the Holy Ghost fell upon all them. And when they got this infilling power of the Holy Ghost, then Peter went out, and let's see what he did. And when he did some things, let's see what kind of persecution they put him under. And so if they put him under that, if you're going to start doing mighty things in the name of Jesus like this, then I can assure you, Satan and his devils will come against you the same way. Let's go to Acts chapter 3, and let's see what happens here. In verse 2 of Acts chapter 3, it says, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms or money of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms or money. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee "In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew it was he that would sit asking for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto them. Now then, you think about this magnificent thing. You think everybody would be happy about what happened here. You just couldn't believe that anybody would not be happy over this. But when you see what happened here, it says here that Jesus, Peter said, and when these people were amazed, in verse 12, Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, and of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered and denied him in the presence of Pilate, said, but you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murder, and you killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, for we are witnesses of this, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong." Now, how did they do that? They did it by faith in the name of Jesus. Now, if you and I would start doing something in faith, we would get to see the Lord do these same great and mighty things. In fact, I think about this man right here, where Peter, by faith in the name of Jesus, spoke by faith in Jesus' name. It wasn't his righteousness or his holiness, but it was by faith in the name of Jesus. And a crippled man that was sitting there all these years, lame from birth, was able to get up and walk off. Well, I can think of a few months ago when I was down in Louisiana. I was preaching at a little church down there, and they brought a man to me that night that couldn't walk. He had a great big tree fall across a tractor and crush his legs about 21 months before, and he hadn't walked a step in those 21 months by himself. The doctor said his knees were crushed, his legs and his knees, and that there was no surgery could put him back together, and he would never walk again. I walked over to that man, knelt down beside him, quoted John 14:13-14, two magnificent promises in the Word of God, and then prayed the prayer of faith over him according to those two scriptures, and the King of the universe, Jesus Christ, our Jesus, which made the universe, instantly healed that man's knees, and he jumped up and began to walk slowly, and then within just two or three minutes, no more than two or three minutes, he was running up and down the aisles of that church screaming, "God is awesome." Now, that's the same thing I did, the same thing that Peter and John did. I did it by faith in the name of Jesus. And the same Jesus that healed this lame man 2,000 years ago healed a lame man just back in 2004. So it's not a major problem to see God do these mighty things. All you got to do is do something in faith, just like they did. And when you do something in faith, Jesus shows up to be glorified. The Father will glorify his Son in these mighty signs and miracles and wonders. So these people here got to see the Lord do a great and mighty miracle. Well, after we see the Lord do these wonderful things, what do we have to do? Well, in verse 19 it says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." So what does people have to do? They have to repent. They have to get right with God, and then after they repent and get right with God, the refreshing of the Lord will come upon them. But on over here in Acts chapter 4, I want you to see what the religious leaders of the time did. In verse 2, they said, "Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead, they laid hands on them and put them in hold or in jail unto the next day, for it was now evening time." Now think about this. Here these two men, Peter and John, had done a mighty miracle in the name of Jesus. A poor old lame man had been miraculously healed, and these people laid hands on him and put him in jail for doing a kind deed to an old crippled man. Now, who knows the man? I think he said 40 years old or something. That's not old, but it was crippled. And just think, here's a man that had not walked, and in the name of Jesus, this man walked, and here is the religious leaders of the day wanting to put these people, and not wanting to, they did put these people in jail. So what does that tell you? You have to be very careful who stands in the pulpit of your church. Very careful. If the man standing in the pulpit of your church does not believe in miracles, does not believe that the Word of God is true, if he does not believe that Jesus was virgin born, if he does not believe the mighty promises of God's Word, you better be careful. He may be controlled by a demon, just like these Pharisees and Sadducees were, because these demons in these men had blinded these men's mind to the truth of God's Word, and these men were going to put Peter and John in jail for doing a miracle to a cripple. Now, let me tell you, I have been through this same thing. When I go to a hospital, I've been to hospitals and prayed over children and see two, three, four, five children in a short period of time miraculously healed. And when you do, the devils of hell in the chaplains in the hospital have come against me and threatened to throw me out of the hospital, and I'm never be allowed to pray for another child in that hospital. Isn't that amazing? A chaplain will do that to you. Who's controlling that chaplain? The devil. It's definitely not the Holy Spirit. So, if you start doing what this book says you can do in the name of Jesus, and you start doing it in power, and the Holy Ghost shows up with the infilling power of the Holy Ghost, and you start teaching people about Jesus, you start telling people that Jesus died on the cross to rid them of all their sins, to cleanse them, where they can live on this earth, and then they can die here and go to heaven. You start teaching that, and you start winning people to Christ. You start laying hands on the sick with power, and the Lord starts healing and delivering people. You start casting out devils and changing people's lives. I can assure you, you are going to begin to suffer a persecution, a new level of persecution, which you've never suffered before. But get used to it. It's just something that goes with the job. Don't let it bother you, because Jesus guaranteed you would suffer persecution if you live a godly life and walk in faith with him. The rewards will be great. Don't sweat the persecutions on this earth. They're only going to be temporary. Get out there and do something good for Jesus. And do something in faith and see the King do great and mighty things. Praise his holy name. If you'd like some free audio, video, CD, DVDs of our teaching, give us a call. 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. We'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. Then if you'd like to order stuff on our website or see where we're going to be speaking, go to www.tlsm.org, and there you can see and order all these things. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ.